Young master, unless I am mistaken, I believe I instructed you to put away your ledgers and rest. Yet, here I find you burning the midnight oil, fingers black with ink. Stand up and step away from the desk. That's my good boy. Oh, I am well aware that you're not a child anymore, but, as I have informed you on many occasions, when your family hires an elf as a governess for you, it's for your entire life. I am a professional, and I shall not breach a contract. Furthermore, you have no right to expect to be treated like an adult while you continue to behave like a child. Therefore, I shall be treating you like a child for the present. Now undress. Of course I'm serious, my dear boy. I may look younger than you now, but don't forget that I was well into my first century when you were born. I bathed and clothed you as a babe, and I'll do both tonight if I have to. Besides, I've seen your penis many times, so there's nothing you need to hide from me. Move your hands. You're taking too long. I'll undo your buttons myself. Stop helping. You're getting in my way. There. Don't you feel better with your coat off? Of course I'm taking off your trousers too. You're going to sleep, young man, and that means dressing you in your nightclothes. Let me unbutton your shirt. I'm glad to see that your gymnasium activities are paying dividends. Your torso is filling out in a nicely masculine fashion. Good. Now, let me just remove your pants. No, don't move, young man. You just stand there and hold your arms out, and I will dress you. You're meant to be relaxing. Now lift your legs, one at a time. Good. Now, aren't you more comfortable? Perfect. Now, into bed with you. Yes, lie down and I will tuck you in, just like I did all those years ago. You really ought not to be surprised, you know. With the stress you've been putting yourself under, it's no wonder your family asked me to put you thoroughly under my care again. You haven't been taking care of yourself. And how do you think that makes me feel? I spent decades essentially raising you alongside your parents, and you don't even respect my efforts enough to keep yourself fed and rested. It's disrespectful is what it is. And do I tolerate disrespect? That's correct. I do not. Now, I'm sure your mind is running back and forth over all those lines and figures you were looking at a moment ago. So, here's what I'm going to do. You just lie back, and I'm going to climb in bed next to you and read you a little bedtime story. Yes, a bedtime story. It will help you relax and take your mind off of your work. You need rest. I don't think we need to read the same little stories we used to read, though, do we? You've grown after all. You always tried to sneak those Proud Pen books, and I had to snatch them away from you and tell you you were too young. Do you remember? I think you're old enough now for one of those. The Farmer's Son and the Orc Chieftain by D. Proudpen. There was a farm outside the Quartock lands, with little land and even fewer hands. The father was a human, mother elf, proud and strong, reliant on themselves. They had a couple daughters, then a boy, grew up with handmade clothes and makeshift toys. But hearts and bellies full for every year, their life was peaceful, if a bit austere. That's nice, isn't it? Close your eyes, and I'll run my fingers through your hair. The father aged, the mother stayed the same. The oldest daughter, Laren, was her name. She grew into a beauty of the age, her sister Yela, something of a sage. They say she read the seasons like a book and quieted the storms with just a look. Their brother got his father's bulging arms from years and years of working on the farm. And though he got his mother's pointed ears, he turned out larger than his human peers. Young Darrett, with his father's strapping chin and handsome, if a bit lopsided, grin. An eligible bachelor in town, attracted smiles and glances all around. But whether he lacked notice or intent, he remained a stubborn, single gent. Until the days the orcs rode to the farm, intending just a little bit of harm. That's not too scary, is it? I don't want you to be afraid. In fact, I've read this particular story before, and I'll let you know that it ends quite well for young Darrett. I just don't want you to worry. All right, all right. I'll keep reading. You just keep resting your eyes. It was a small band riding to the west, led by a fiery, fearsome warrioress. They'd lost their land along with half their clan. Their warriors were killed, quick to a man. So Gilgarat, the chieftain's wife bereft, fled with all the women that were left. They rode for new lands, looking to survive, a place to call home, hopefully to thrive. The lands near Darrett's father's farm were good, open fields lined with fertile wood. They settled there, and then they thought they'd try and raid the nearby villages for supplies. A dozen burly women made their way through orchards filled with fruit and fields with hay. And on their way along the country road, they passed our hero, Darrett's own abode. He heard the rumble o'er the rolling hills and came outside to battle arms and wills. He'd heard the savagery of brutal orcs and had no wish to be an early corpse. With axe in hand, he stepped outside the door, and when he saw them coming, how he swore. Every one of them was 6 feet tall, at least, and armed, and ready for a brawl. "What do you want?" he called out in a shout. His booming voice turned Gilgarat about. "What? No hello?" she answered with a growl. "And no good morning? No greeting at all? What has become of hospitality? Why not invite me for a cup of tea?" Young Darrett held his ground and set his jaw. "I'd love to have a seat, reach an accord. But most people don't do that armed with swords." He had a point, he thought. They'd come to fight. But Gilgarat thought she was in the right. "Where I come from, you'd have to be a fool to walk around without your killing tools." Then Darrett said, without a trace of fear, "You're not there anymore. You're here. And I would like to know what you intend. Are you here as a foe or as a friend?" The orcress licked her tusk and paused in thought. She knew just what would happen if they thought. They'd kill him, just as easy as could be, and move on through the village on a spree. It's what their husbands would have done for sure, and thought it had a certain bold allure. They needed more than just a few supplies. They'd like to set up shop here for their lives. A peaceful life for orcs was something new, so Gilgarat considered what to do. "We'd like to settle on some land nearby. Suppose it'd help if no one had to die." Safe to say that Darrett was surprised that orcs were not as cruel as advertised. And so they spoke. She told him of their flight. He empathised with them in all their plight. Young Darrett thought that they could get along. He hoped the future wouldn't prove him wrong. But still he knew he'd help this band of orcs and hold at bay the torches and pitchforks. "You'll have to trade. You can't just take supplies," he told the women, looking in their eyes. They grumbled, but they knew the words were true, and Darrett helped them know just what to do. They talked about the things that they could trade, and one by one, the orc women were swayed. But Gilgarat had one more thing to say. "We've journeyed far, Our nerves begin to fray. Our husbands died and left us all alone. It's been a while since someone made us moan. We've hungered on our melancholy walk. So would you fuck us with your human cock? The man was stunned. He'd not expected this. He hadn't even had his first real kiss. His jaw hung low. He couldn't think to talk. But such a muteness spared his growing cock. Gilgarat looked down and smiled to see. It looks like something there wants to agree. He swallowed and he stammered and he choked. He croaked. He thought they'd kiss or talk or maybe flirt. But Gilgarat just opened up her shirt. It didn't solve his tongue's stuttering fits to see her soft and massive hanging tits. She asked him if he'd like for her to stomp. He shook his head, afraid that he would pop. "He's cute," remarked one of the other girls, her finger twirling in her dark green curls. He started getting over all this shock and unbuckled his pants to show his cock. "Do you like what you see right here?" he asked. She did, especially since he was at full mast. She wrapped her thick green fingers round his shaft and showed how good she could be at her craft. She pulled and stroked and rubbed him up and down and teased her fingertips along the crown. And though his cock stood straighter, tall and grand, the rest of Darrett melted in her hand. "I see you're becoming affected by this story. Did you think I wouldn't notice that tent in your sheets?" "Oh, don't be embarrassed. It's perfectly natural. I chose this story, after all, so I can't be surprised that it's having its effect on you." "Oh, of course I chose it in order to arouse you. I told you that I was going to take care of you and make sure you relaxed, didn't I? And based on the comings and goings of yourself and any visitors to the estate, you haven't had any release in weeks. I am your governess, young man, and I will not let this continue. Did you think it accident that I dressed you in nightclothes that would make it so easy to take out your cock? Just like this?" "Oh, no, 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 no. You won't be pleasuring me tonight. Once you've rested up, we can discuss more ways I can help you find release. And of course, I intend to give you my usual level of instruction in all things sexual now that you're older. Not that you need it, if the sounds coming from your room are anything to go by, but there's always room for improvement." "Of course I've heard you with women. These pointed ears are not for show, dear boy. And though your lady callers were too few and much too far between, they always sounded quite well satisfied. But that's a topic for another day. For now, you need to rest, so you will continue to lie back while I stroke your cock. Now hush, and let me continue this delightful little tale." She pulled him close. He pursed his waiting lips and suckled on her lovely pine-green nips. She cradled heavy balls in lime-green hands and teased her thumb around his glands. He used his mouth to suck and squeeze her tits and reached his hand below to stroke her bits. They worked each other up into a lather as round the other orcish women gathered. They watched as Gilgarat and Darrett groped and waited for their turn, at least they hoped. The chieftain and the farmer rubbed and stroked, her orcish pussy quickly getting soaked. Just as quick as Darrett's cock got hard, his eyes rolled up and then he dropped his guard. The orc, she pushed him over on his back and went on to the sexual attack. Then she gripped his cock with all finesse and lined it up to give the man access. Into her tight and wet and dripping hole, he pierced her to her fierce and orcish hole. He couldn't think to speak, so wet, so tight. There was no chance he would last a night. You're getting worked up now, I can see. Just keep relaxing. Concentrate on my voice and on my hand around your cock. She rode him on the ground with vim and verve, and Darrett, he was more than glad to serve. He hadn't ever felt a thing like this, never such an urgent, soothing bliss. He felt her ass cheeks bounce against his thighs, and soon enough his balls began to rise. She cried out as she joined him at his peak, and all at once her pulsing thighs grew weak. He felt his torso clench, his toes go numb. He filled her with his sticky, dripping cum. She closed her eyes, collapsed against his chest, settling in to have a well-earned rest. The other orcs, excited for their turn, licked their lips and felt their pussies burn. Once the chieftain had her chance to wallow, an orgy with 11 orcs would follow. One of them, a redhead, faked a cough, so Darrett tapped her ass to nudge her off. He spent the whole day drowned in massive tits, his fingers and his tongue awash in clits. His cock consumed by pussies plump and tight, and thus he passed a long and blissful night. And once the day arrived and all were spent, young Darrett was a very happy gent. The orcs, they had no need of pen or quill, no parchment onto which to scrawl their will. They made alliances in blood and flesh. It worked, although they didn't smell refreshed. The orcs would trade and work to earn their coin. The men of town were welcome between their loins. Their welcome took a bit of elbow grease, but all in all, they lived a life of peace. Come now, young man, let go. You've been pent up too long. Ah, there it is, my dear, sweet boy. Look at you filling my hand. You've done so well. There. I'm going to give you a wipe down, and you just drift right off to dreamland now. And in the morning, I'll give you a nice long bath. Sweet dreams.